I'm just looking at my watch, and we've got one of our folks that are meeting with a doctor right now at university, and Whitney and Jeremy Schneider, you know, they're a young couple that are part of us. And I was just, Ron, if you would pull up the Emmanuel slide on that. I think it's the chorus. I'm not really sure. You guys can have a seat for just a second, because I want to call the church to prayer right now. Okay, right now. I think of all the names for Jesus and all of the prophetic responses in Scripture at this time of the year with Christmas. For me, this one is the one that is best for me, to know that no matter what circumstances a person finds themselves in, that God is with us. And you know, after the Jesus event that we will be celebrating in a couple weeks, it's actually an event we celebrate every day, right, as believers. And he said to his disciples, he said, you know, they were in that upper room and they were all together, and the Scripture says he breathed into them and said, now receive the Holy Spirit. So not only is God with us, but since the Jesus event, he is in us. That means that there's no place you'll ever be, there's no thing that you will ever experience that God is not there. And you know what? He's all in.
Yeah.
He's not just kind of there. He's not partially there. He's all in. And so I just, I want us to sing this chorus again, okay? All that is within me, Christ, for you alone be glorified, Emmanuel. And this is what it means. God with us, my heart. My heart sings a brand new song. The debt is paid. Are you aware of that? Their chains are gone. Amen. Let's bring it up to tempo now. Up to tempo. God with us.
Like hinges. Like hinges straining from the way. My heart no longer can keep from singing.
Just that last two lines. Emmanuel, God with us. I want to call us to prayer for Whitney. Let's get into some small groups right now. Let's just do this right now. You know, if her church can't be standing with her, that's something wrong here, you know. And it's not about going through all the things that we have designed. I want us to pray for Kyle. Here's the situation. Kyle has had a fairly significant part of his life in drug addiction. Heroin is his drug of choice. And he's had... And all the spinoff stuff that comes from that lifestyle, some of you are aware of that because some of you used to be there. It's a used to, right? It used to be there. Not now. It used to be there. Because there was a day when God breathed into you and cleaned all that junk out. But Kyle took a significant overdose this past week. I don't know, what, Wednesday or Thursday, Andy? You're more.
I think it was actually.
Or was it even before then?
Yeah, Monday. I think
Monday.
Sunday or Monday, yeah.
And so he's basically on life support right now, and 22 years old. So they did all the tests to check things out last night, and they're getting the reading in about 2 minutes. So let's pray for Kyle. Let's pray for the Snyder family. Some here know Sue Hamilton. That's, you know, from Christian Fellowship. There are ties there as well. And, you know, let's intercede right now. Come on, let's just do this. Let's intercede right now. And, you know, pray whatever God puts on your heart. But let's do this thing. And it's okay. Circle the wagons or do whatever. Get with some folks. Don't let anybody be by themselves, okay? Oh, God, reveal yourself to Kyle right now. Be fully revealed to Kyle right now, God. Come, Lord. God, I pray that you'd wake him up right now. I pray that, God, everything, all of the functions of his organs would come right online now, God. And, God, it doesn't matter to me what those tests reveal. I pray, God, that they will know Emmanuel has walked right into to that intensive care room at University Hospital. Reveal Jesus, God. Let Jesus be born in Kyle's life, oh God. I don't know if he's a believer. I don't know about any of those things. I know he's heard the gospel. So pray for Kyle. Pray for him right now. Pray that this will be a real line in the sand for him, that this is a new day for him. A new day for him. Pray for Whitney, his sister, Whitney Schneider. Many of you know Whitney. Pray for Whitney. Pray for his mom, Sue Hamilton. Come on, church, intercede. Just. God is listening to your prayers right now. What do you think his heart's desire is for Kyle? Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, the scripture says, and ever making intercession for us. You think God is hearing Jesus' prayer? Do you think he's answering Jesus' prayer? Pray, 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 pray.
Yes, God, Lord, you are Emmanuel. You are God with us. And God, I believe that right now, you are God with Kyle. You are God with the Hamilton family. You are God with the Schneiders, God. And so, Lord, I'm asking, while Kyle is sleeping, even now, God, would you meet him, Lord? Would you visit him? Would you give him a dream or a vision, God, or something, Lord? But let him wake up knowing my God is with me. My Lord, my God, my Savior, he does not leave me. He does not abandon me. Even when I'm running away from him, he is still coming after me. My God has such love for me that he will never forget me. He will never forget me. He will never give up on me. He is always there fighting for me. God, would you use this time, even now, Lord, to reach Kyle and to reach his family? God, I pray protection for his family. Lord, I know that during times of tragedy, sometimes stress and strain and even anger can be acted out in places where it doesn't need to be. God, I'm asking protection for his family, that they would come together, Lord, that they would build each other up, that they would know how to process things together, God. Use this time, oh Lord. But God, wake up my brother Kyle. Wake him up, Lord. And Lord, I want the first words out of his mouth to be, Emmanuel, God is with us.
Jesus, breathe in us, Lord God. Lord, there's a lot of things that we squabble about. There's a lot of things that we don't agree on. There's a lot of things that we don't. But Lord, we hate drugs. Lord God, we hate sin. Lord God, we hate cancer. Lord God, we hate these things of our flesh that try to get in between us and you, Lord God. But so long ago, on that one holy night, you sent your Son, Jesus, to be Emmanuel. Not to be God on high on top of some mountain that we have to climb to get to. Some idea that in order for us to be whole, we've got to do this and this and this and this. You sent your Son Jesus to be God with us. You sent him down the mountain to be God with us. What an incredible event. What an incredible thing.
Just thinking how Christmas has a lot of moving parts, doesn't it? A lot of stuff goes on between Thanksgiving and basically New Year's. Caroling and cooking. You tell me. Traveling, decorating,
wassailing.
What? Wassailing? It's from our worship leader this morning, one of our pastors. I'm pretty sure I heard Adam Sandler in there somewhere. Wasn't sure.
Next week.
There's just a lot of stuff that goes on. I think a lot of moving parts and, family gatherings and, everybody's got an Uncle Bill, you know what I mean? And where it's like, oh man, is he going to go off this year? And I'm sure Uncle Bill, there's a guy here, his name's Bill and he's an uncle. So I'm not talking about you, but there's just a lot of stuff. I think that, just a lot of moving parts and, I always think at this time of the year, oh, how we need Jesus to be born into our celebrations and especially into this Christmas season. Of all times when we ought to be talking about Jesus being born, this time of the year, to which, if I think about Joseph and that first Christmas, I think about his busyness. We'll look at it in just a very quick moment. If you'd like to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew's Gospel, very first book in the New Testament, chapter 1. We'll look at four little verses there. And to which I can almost hear Joseph say, come on, Jesus, in the midst of all of this. Well, it's not only like that in 2016, as I have said, Christmas season, this phenomenon, but, when you check out that first Christmas, now we're talking some moving parts. You think about that. When you just kind of read down as it kind of begins, the birth narrative only shows up in a couple of New Testament books, in any serious way, in the Gospel according to Matthew, the first couple chapters, and the Gospel according to Luke, the first couple of chapters. And Matthew's got enough moving parts just on its own. You think about an unwed, expectant, most probably early teens, Mary. There's some moving parts for you. Don't just think about it from her perspective. Think about it from her family's perspective. After all, she was betrothed to Joseph, which was really, though it's often kind of termed as a pre-engagement, it really was much more of a legal binding ceremony and commitment, the betrothal was, than even our engagement is today. A lot of moving parts there. dads and moms wanting the best for their kids, and now this. What about the embarrassment of old Joseph? He was a small business owner, carpenter, trying to make a living, trying to run a business, and now all of a sudden he's faced with, "You're what? Pregnant? Pregnant? It's not mine. This is not mine. Well, we're not even really officially dating." A lot of moving parts. Chapter 2 introduces us to, man, there's angels showing up everywhere in this deal. Whoa, what was that? Now, contrary to the paintings of Raphael and others that always depict angels as having wings, nowhere in Scripture do angels have wings. Cherubim and seraphim, whatever the heck those things were. Angels don't have wings. You check me out on that deal. So, you know, an angel. You know, sometimes they were blonde, sometimes they were brunette, and sometimes only the hairdresser probably knew. Right, Sally? Now we're talking moving parts. It's going to be a long ride home. There's a lot of moving parts right in this auditorium right now. Come back, Sally. Just kidding. Sort of. Chapter 2 introduces us to an egomaniac, crazy, enraged King Herod. And when you begin to analyze the political climate, you think we got moving parts now in this country and in this world. Do a little study this week on the climate. Why else would Scripture tell us that at the right time, when literally all hell was breaking loose in that known world, people were screaming for a Messiah. They were those who knew the Scripture. A lot of moving parts. Then you have these three ever persistent wise men. Were there three? The song "We Three Kings," even kind of this morning. We don't really know. We get that because how many gifts were there? Yeah. And so it's just, that kind of a deal. A lot of moving parts. They came one way and they went home another way because of this crazy King Herod. A lot of moving parts. To make matters worse, we ended up with an endangered first family, didn't we? The last part of chapter 2. We're going to kill all the boy babies. And here little baby Jesus is. Their firstborn. Dave and Karen Sims aren't the only ones that, and the Blackwells aren't the only ones that head south for the winter. this endangered family took off too, headed for Egypt. A lot of moving parts, to which I can hear Joseph say, "Come on, Jesus." Well, as we begin this Christmas season, I want us to revisit that first Christmas story just to be reminded of why Jesus came. There's an old gospel song that many groups used to sing years and years ago entitled "Through It All." Do you know that song? Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. And so let's depend upon His Word to introduce this Christmas season. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. And in these four verses, and really beyond this, it's not just these four verses. I want us to understand two extremely critical facts about this first Christmas. The first, and about His coming. This first is what I would call the prophecy, if you're taking notes, the prophecy of His coming. The prophecy of His coming. As you read, and I've already kind of done a little bit of this, but let me just read these four verses, and you follow along in whatever translation. I'm reading from New American Standard. And here's what Matthew writes for us. And the very first word is pretty significant, I think. Now. You know, in the midst of all of the busyness of this year, we need a now word from God, I believe. Don't you agree?
Yeah.
Is this on? Don't you agree? We need a now word from the Scripture. Not from each other so much. We need it from God's Word that never changes. It's living. It's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, Scripture tells us. It's able to cut away everything that doesn't look like Jesus and bless everything that does. Two-edged sword. So Matthew begins verse 18. Now, the birth, interesting little Greek word, it's genesis. Where we get our word? Hello. Genesis. That's the Genesis. Now, what's the significance of that? I thought God has always been. John's prologue says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word literally was God. And then verse 14 says, this Word, Genesis, this Word put on skin. It became flesh and dwelt among us. And John writes in his prologue, and we saw Him, we beheld Him. And it's even a stronger word than I just got a glimpse. Later on, Paul talks, it uses a word that literally means, it usually is translated, walk in a manner worthy of calling. Usually translated walk, but it's a stronger word than that. And so is this word. And in John's prologue, it means to walk about. It means to analyze the thing. It means to, you know, to go all around it. This word that became flesh. John's prologue says, where we beheld Him. We saw Him. He changed our, He's changed our lives. And later on in John's epistles, he even says the same thing. He says, we touched Him. Our hands touched Him. And we saw Him with our eyes. And we heard Him with our ears. And so Matthew says, now the birth of Jesus Christ. There was a point in time when Jesus was born. Okay? It's not as though He's some phantom Jesus up in heaven and He's hanging out and God says, you know, we got a real issue down on planet Earth. There's a lot of junk going on. Look at all the busyness. Look at all the darkness, as Andy was talking and Michael were talking about. Look at all the mess down there. What on earth are we going to do? And He's walking about heaven, wringing His hands, God is, wringing His hands and saying, what are we going to do? We hadn't planned on this. And then Jesus stepped forward. And I've heard mess. I've probably preached some of that stuff. Hey, I'll go. Send me. Makes for good preaching. Not sure how truthful that is. But anyway, there was a point in time when God got involved. God himself got involved. And he's so right. It wasn't as though he's on a mountaintop. You know, all of the Eastern religions put him up here somewhere. And it's all about our effort to get to him. If we'll just do this, if we'll just do that, we'll get to him. That's not what Christianity's all about. That's not what we're about. You understand that God came down. He came down from heaven. He came to us. It says that he is called Emmanuel. We'll see about that in this next week's message. He dwelt among us, John says. There was a Genesis. There was a Genesis, a time when he really came into being. Now, he was the Father who just put on skin. And literally, it's quite an amazing word. Our English word that we translate from Greek, mercy. And actually, it comes in, it's built on a root way back in Hebrew scriptures that literally means to get inside the skin of another. Is that the craziest thing you've ever... I never can see the word mercy, and I don't think about the Oscar Mayer plant out here, and then it just ruins everything, you know. You know, kind of a deal like that. But he came, he got into the skin of another. And we knew him as Jesus. He put on skin. So, that's a little more than what you probably paid for this morning. Birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed, already talked about that, to Joseph, before they came together, had any kind of sexual relationship, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Uh-oh. There are a lot of moving parts of this first story. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, if he's not wanting to disgrace her, what is he wanting to do? He's wanting to be gracious. What is grace? Grace is all of God's superabundance come to play. He's wanting all of God's superabundance to come into this situation. Joseph was a remarkable person, I think. You know what folks would do with that today? You tell me. Come on, tell me. What would they do with a child that is out of wedlock, that is not planned? Kids. Abort it. Not Joseph. You know why? He's a righteous man. Didn't want to disgrace her. Now that certainly had a lot more to play in it than that. It wasn't just kill the baby, but it was kill her. You go back to Leviticus and you see he would have been well within his rights according to the system that he was born into to have done that. But just because the law says that, are you with me? Yeah. Just because the law says that doesn't mean that that's right. He did what was right, being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. Let me pause here and say this. If there are those here maybe you weren't righteous in your decisions for that unborn child. God still wants to be gracious to you.
That's right. Amen.
And I want you to know that you're in a church, you're in a family who's not going to throw you out.
That's right.
And we're not throwing stones at you.
Amen.
Who doesn't have sin? Let him throw the first stone. there is grace. In this Jesus event, he decided not to disgrace her, but he planned to send her away secretly. Was that God's way? No, not really. He was trying to figure this thing out. You know what the scripture says in Proverbs 14? It's not a text that we have this morning. Just one of those verses. It just has kind of shown up. There's a way that seems right to every man, but the ends are deadly. You know, you get your friends around and you're going through and you're trying to make some decisions in your life, and in the midst of your busyness, in the midst of all of the moving parts that are going on in your life, and seek the counsel. There is wisdom with many counselors, but just be careful of the counselor that you're seeking counsel from. Occasionally people will come, quite often actually, they'll come, they'll be dealing with a particular thing. And I'll say, well, you know, let's talk about it. He said, well, I'm already seeing a counselor. Well, tell me a little bit about the counselor. Counselor's not a believer. What are you doing going to a non-believing counselor? What are you doing that for? You think you're going to get the right decision? Go to the counselor. What does God's word say about this? Sorry, that wasn't part of the notes. I'm not sorry. So the busyness. But when he had considered this, sound of an angel. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. You know, when you're in the midst of darkness, I remember right now I'm just kind of having one of these thoughts that when I was a little kid and afraid, and my mom and dad had, we lived up, our bedrooms were the second floor. And to get from our bedroom, my brother and my bedroom, to my mom and dad's bedroom, there was a staircase. And you had to go past the staircase. Man, that was the scariest place in all the world, because any dude that was coming to do, or do that, that was coming to do bad things to us would have had to have gotten there by way of the staircase. And so just kind of getting it right now. And I was thinking, I get right up. It was hard enough to just, you know, just get, and I'm thinking, I don't even want to look around the wall here, because there's a staircase, and it's toast, you know, it's toast. Stuff like that. And usually my mom or dad, typically it's my mom, dad's usually comatose, you know, and sleeping and everything. It's the moms that are getting up, taking care of the kids. My mom would always be there to meet me. Yeah. I didn't have to go past that. And you know what? When she was there, I didn't care what's in the staircase. You know? That's what God does for us. That's what happened here for Joseph. In the midst of his darkness, in the midst of his busyness, maybe I'll do this. Maybe I'll just do this thing. Not a bad thing. It was a gracious as far as he could go with this thing, but it wasn't God's way. It wasn't super abundant grace. And so God always shows up. Always. Always. He's never early, never late, always right on time. Always. Always. You know what always means in the Greek? Always. Conceived in her, this child is of the Holy Spirit. That had to be good news. Kinda. What? What is that? I just know it's not my son. I didn't do this. God, you did this? Okay, tell me more. Tell me more. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He's already got a name. I don't have to go buy one of those goofy books. I don't have to look and see if there's a keychain at Cracker Barrel that's got the kid's name on it. What? It's got a name already? How cool is that? Call his name Jesus, Yeshua. For he will save his people from their sin. Now, though there was no prophetic word here in those four verses, when you read through Matthew and Luke's gospel, you'll find prophecies all over the place. Prophecies of his coming. When you look at Luke's gospel and you put the two together, you'll find things there from the psalmist, Psalm 107, and other places. You'll find things there from Isaiah, from Jeremiah, from Hosea, from Micah. Let me just say this. God's prophecy of his coming, that's the Jesus event, was given to settle us. How wonderful it is to hear from God in the midst of busyness, in the midst of darkness. How wonderful it is, as Michael shared with us earlier, to know that there's a star. Star of wonder. Star of light. Star of royal beauty. Right. West. All of that. How wonderful it is to hear from God and to see God. I think probably my most favorite is one found in Isaiah chapter 9. And how comforting these words. I'm sure Joseph knew this scripture. He knew of this prophetic word. How comforting it must have been for Joseph to have recalled from Isaiah chapter 9 and verses 6 and 7. For a child will be born to us. A son will be given to us. He's thinking, I just heard the angel say that. And the government will rest on his shoulders. In the midst of so much busyness and mess in the Middle East at that point, aren't you glad that's not a problem anymore? In the midst of all of the mess, to know that there is one who has been born, has been, past tense, has been born and desires to be born in the midst of whatever darkness you're feeling right now. Whatever is in your life, that's why we could pray for Whitney and pray for her family. Is we could say, in the midst of this, of the darkest time of your life right now, you've had all these other times of struggling with Kyle, trying to help him. And now in the throes literally of life, when darkness couldn't be any darker, there is one who has come already, who desires to be a part of all of that, to be that light, to be that Oh, how we need Jesus to be born into our busyness, into our darkness, to bring some sanity, to bring some civility, to bring peace, some tranquility to the darkness and to the messes of life. And Isaiah's prophecy that I'm sure Joseph was aware of, and the government will rest on his shoulders. I don't have to worry about any of this stuff. God's got this. Let me get a drink here. I'm parched. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor. You got some issues in your life. You're not sure of whether to go left or to go right. He has already come and he has inserted himself into your busyness. Will you allow him to be born into your busyness and to give you counsel? He's a wonderful counselor. He's a mighty God. Whatever you're going through, you say, I don't know that we can manage this. I don't know that we can navigate these shark-infested waters. He's strong. He's mighty. Yeah. Amen. was just thinking, I was writing this Easter script and doing music and stuff for a church north of here for this 2017. I'm kind of putting some of the finishing touches on, and I did some of the work even earlier this morning. And I was just thinking about, you know, this whole preaching of John the Baptist when he came, and, you know, he was raucous and kind of had some, you know, looked kind of funky and ate some funky stuff and all that kind of, I mean, just all the whole deal. And, you know, and you remember his message. His message to everyone was, repent, repent. You know, I can imagine it wasn't a kind of like, now, you know what? Now, let's just talk about this a little bit. Might be good if you kind of, maybe you'll think about doing something a little bit different with your life, you know. No, it wasn't like that at all. Repent! Repent! The kingdom of God has already come. And the people, you remember the, you know, the story of all of the preaching of John the Baptist, that the people were saying, you know, that he had followers too. You know that whole episode later on when he's in jail and about to lose his head, and the whole thing, sends his disciples back to Jesus, said, you know, you go back and you asked and said, is this the one? And of course, about Jesus, and yes, he's the one. And I can imagine in the crowd scene that as he said, repent, repent, there are people said, yeah, man, you the man, you're the one we're following there. And he said, no, wait a minute. I'm only a voice crying in the wilderness. This one, and Jesus is showing up, and I can imagine him saying, is that the carpenter's son? The Joseph's son? You know? Him? Are you kidding me? What's he going to do? Beat somebody with a hammer? He says, we want someone with power like you, John. And John said, no, you don't understand. I'm only a voice. This is the voice of God. We're talking mighty God. You with me? Whatever you need. I need another drink. He's got it. And how long does he have it? Forever. Eternal Father, Isaiah says. Let him speak into your life and watch the dust settle and the fog to lift. Why? Because he's our Prince of Peace. Paul writes later on, he is our peace who is broken down. He's settled everything in your life. Why, there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. He will establish it and he will uphold it. Man, I can just imagine that in the midst of Joseph's busyness, in the midst of all of his stuff, I can almost hear Joseph saying, come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. That's one fact, the fact of his coming. Now very quickly, what's the purpose in his coming? We already read it, verse 21. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. God's purpose in his coming, that Jesus event, was to save us. Here's how Dr. Luke puts it in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. There is salvation in no one else. Say that with me. No one else. And there is no other name under heaven. Say that. No other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. And then over in Philippians, this wonderful text in chapter 2 of Philippians in verses 9 and 10. For this reason also, Paul writes, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Isn't that amazing? People are still bowing in heaven. Let's think about our daughter this morning. Exactly a week from today is when we lost her. I was just in my quiet time this morning just thanking God, in my journaling, thanking God for, first of all, for my amazing wife. Brown hair, gray hair, doesn't matter to me, honey. No hair. Just thanking God for her. My desk, it faces a bookcase, and in my bookcase there's a picture of a tri-paneled cameos of our children when they were small. So I always see, and my wife has pictures right there. It's the first thing that greets me in the morning, when I sit at my desk to have my quiet time. It's those pictures I'm reminded of. So I was just thanking God this morning for my wife. And I thank God for my children, for Cheris. And I thought to myself, what must Christmas be like for those in heaven? She was a wonderful woman of God. You know, that was the last question that she ever asked me before she passed away. Daddy, tell me about heaven. Like a John Wayne movie. I mean, you know, it's one of those kinds of deals. What a treat to be able to share from Scripture about heaven. But I thought, maybe for the first million years, maybe that's what we do. Maybe we're so amazed at what he's done for us and how Jesus really did pay it all. All to him we owe. Sin, oh, it left a crimson stain, but what did he do? White as snow. Washed it white as snow. And so there's bowing in heaven. Every knee will bow, those who are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. I'd say that about covers it. To which I can hear Joseph say, come on, Jesus. When I pastored down in South Louisiana, I used to sing regularly with a couple guys in our church, and one of those guys, I think, has the purest bass voice I've ever heard. And he and his brothers used to sing in like a gospel quartet, and they were pretty good. And his mother, his name's Jess Clark, JD we called him. That's why our son is named Jonathan David. He's a JD. He was named after Jess. And we still hear from Jess and Jan, dear friends. They live in Bellechasse, Louisiana, down in the swamp. And Jess got word that his mother, who was in her 90s by this time, Vola, V-O-L-A, Vola, Vola Clark, was dying. Lived in southern Illinois. And so he brothers called, says, Jess, you need to come home. Mom's dying. So Jess made plans to get home. And when he got home, she was still alive, but she was failing, and she laid in this
kind of a failing state. I'll just leave it at that. For 3 days, she hadn't opened her eyes, hadn't spoken, hadn't eaten anything, hadn't taken in any liquids, and her vital signs were, you know, those of you who are nurses and healthcare and doctors and things, or you know this whole deal. And so they're just kind of watching, and they were around her bed, and it seemed like, you know, this is it. In fact, the hospice people were there, and they said it could be any time now. Hadn't heard her speak. She hadn't moved, hadn't opened her eyes for 3 days. So they began to sing. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. How do you do that? Through it all. You know that song? I've learned. Yeah. I've learned to trust in God. Oh, yes. Through it all. You know it. You're amazing. So, finished singing that. You know what happened? This is what happened. She opened her eyes. She raised herself up on her elbows. And her last words, "Come on, Jesus." And she laid down and breathed her last. Is that an amazing story? So, my prayer for us, and I pray that you will experience this, that you will take to heart the prophecy of His coming and the purpose in His coming this Christmas season. And you, like Vola, and I'm sure like Joseph, will say, "Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus." Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for our time together today. I pray, God, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart have been acceptable to you. I know I've gone off the rails a few times. But if we don't remember anything else from this morning, oh God, I pray that we will remember those words, "Come on, Jesus." Whatever busyness that seems to be ramping up at this time of the year, that God, you will teach us to sing that song that through it all, we've learned to trust in Jesus. We've learned to trust in you, oh God. Through it all, we've learned to depend upon your word. Oh, yes, Lord. The whole reason of the prophecy of that Jesus event, that first Christmas, was to settle people. And God, how it settles us. So I pray, Lord God, for this church, that we will be settled in Jesus. And that, God, we will have the purpose of in His coming to save us. That's my prayer, oh God, for the people called Centerpoint and beyond. In Jesus' name, come on, Jesus. Amen. All right, that's all I got. And hug somebody's neck before you leave, and Like always, if there are those here that need prayer for any specific thing, you know, certainly we have oil and we want to anoint you with oil and pray. And you do need to go get your children, or I'll be anointing teachers with oil. So greet two or three folks. Why don't you see if you can see somebody here you don't know before you leave, and just say, hey, glad that you showed up, and come back again, and assure them that the lead pastor will do a better job next week. Oh, by the way, I think we're going to have, I think Joseph is going to show up next week, by the way. And I think the following week that Melchior might be showing up, one of the wise men. So invite somebody to be here. There'll be some drama next week. I mean, in the right way. and we'll get another now word from our text. Okay, from Matthew chapter 1. God bless you. Have a great day. Okay. All right.